The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now have a listen to this. Now, that might sound to you like a busker on a tuba, but it's not. I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, independent motoring expert for CarZone. What is that sound?
That is the sound of a road playing music, or more specifically, it's the rumble strips on a road. That one's in Hungary, but it's a really clever piece of design because you know a rumble strip when you drive over it.
Well, they get thump, 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 thump,
thump, thump. So they've laid them down in such a way that when you drive that road at the correct speed, it plays a familiar tune at the correct pace. And that is a familiar tune if you're in Hungary. It's a well-known folk tune there, and that's where it comes from. But musical roads. So literally, once the car obeys the speed limit and drives correctly, the tune is sort of satisfyingly correct in the motorist's ear. Clever little idea. And there's a few of them around the world.
Okay, so if you go faster, it will not play the tune as you expect.
Yeah, exactly.
So people will kind of play with this, I'd imagine, themselves to try and hear the tune.
Well, do you know, the road safety people say that that's potentially one of the dangers. Is this truly a road safety measure, or is it a bit of a novelty, or can it be both and there's anything wrong with that? I think it's clever. I think motorists become familiar with it over time, so its effect diminishes. Mm. But it's great novelty whenever you first encounter it. And actually, in places like Japan, they've tourists who deliberately go to drive on the musical road. But it's one of those psychological calming measures which says, without heavy engineering or creating danger, how can we induce a driver to behave correctly? So that's where it comes from in the theory.
Now, in this country, we use a few techniques. One is we create chicanes to slow traffic down. You know, you get this traffic calming coming into a town.
Yes.
And it narrows the road, and sometimes there's a little roundabout. I mean, on the Strand Road in Sandymount, they have littered the place with ramps and roundabouts.
Yeah, and ramps and roundabouts are tedious because they have all sorts of collateral problems. One day you're going to try and get an ambulance over those ramps and roundabouts. So again, there's some clever ones. There are ramps that only deploy when a car is speeding. You know, they drop down into the ground and create the shudder. And things like narrowness and chicanes and even street furniture, which visually make the road look as if it's narrowing, but don't physically present an obstruction.
Now, I've been proposing for years, don't think the powers that be, listen, we have these signs, you often see them, telling you when you're going above the speed limit, and they show red. If in a 50-kilometre zone, it'll show red at 51, 52, 53. And then when you go below 50 or at 50, it turns green. So it's to encourage you to go green. However, in Portugal, they have a system which uses the same technology. They detect your speed, but they're attached to traffic lights. And they detect you maybe 100 metres out. The traffic lights go red if you're speeding.
Yeah, and serve you right, say the road planners.
Now, can you imagine that technology allied with a camera?
Yeah, well, you could say that whenever one of those speed reminders exists, it could be a camera handing out penalty points. You know, and there's pluses and minuses to that. I mean, ubiquitous handing out of tickets all over the place.
The business of forcing you to stop, the light goes red. And I mean, I know people break red lights all the time, be they motorists or cyclists, they break the red lights. But still, there's that inherent thing. If I go through a red light, I might hit somebody, I might do serious harm, and then I'm in big trouble.
It's a good idea. And it's not just Portugal, in fact. They do it in villages in Spain too. And there'll be a road sensor maybe 200 metres before the village, and it detects your speed. And if you're going too fast, the light will turn red on you. If you're driving correctly, the light will stay green and smoothly through you go. And you're right about saying your motorists will break rules, but red light is really baked into us. And you'll have a motorist, you know, a reckless dude who might speed and cut corners and do this, that and the other badly. But even at 3 o'clock in the morning with nobody else around, he'd be extremely reluctant to go through a red light. And that's a good thing. So again, a clever way of using design rather than engineering to induce a driver to behave well. But not as much fun as the musical road.
No, and in fact, reading there, in Japan, they've 30 what they call melody roads.
Yes.
They play songs from Japanese films. South Korea, they have them on dangerous stretches to keep drivers awake, playing tunes like Mary had a little lamb to keep you awake.
To keep you awake. Well, rumble strips are designed for the same purpose. I'm not sure they'll really serve for that, but again, they're reasonably clever ideas. A related idea was the 3D optical illusion, and that's in some Scandinavian countries where it's a zebra crossing, but it's painted with skill in a three-dimensional way so that as the motorist approaches, you'd swear it's a physical obstruction and it induces you to slow down. Okay. Painting silhouettes of Gardaí on the side of buildings and all sorts of clever things like that.
Now, Conor, why is this a big day on the forecourt?
Well, it's according to CarZone, my new friends in CarZone, and they have the data from many years of internet searches. But January is huge for car sales, we know that. And there's one particular day. So tomorrow, the 22nd of January, will be the busiest single day in the whole year for car purchasing. And we know that over the years, looking at internet data and also looking at the market. So it's fascinating in our country that we are so loaded into January for car sales. For brand new car sales, it'll be about maybe 30% of the annual total will happen in January, which is a really skewing of the scale when you think about it. And because of our dating registration system, every car gets a year older at the same time every year. So actually, January is a huge peak for second-hand car sales as well. And in CarZone, you can see that on the web data. You can literally see droves of consumers. For brand new cars, they made their purchase decision before Christmas. They're often waiting for delivery. But for people thinking, it's January, I'm going to buy, my car's now 8 years old, I'm going to change it this year. Huge, huge surge in January on those web searches. And no day bigger than tomorrow, 22nd of January. It'll officially be the biggest day of the year for car sales.
And why is that? Do we know? Is it just, is it because it's this year, it's a Thursday, Thursday big for car sales?
Yeah, it's kind of equivalent to the Blue Monday. Okay. Where you can apply a little bit of science to it, and a little bit of science is there, but most of us can scratch our chin skeptically as well. In this case, what you can literally see is the volume of web searches. So there is hard data to look at now, there.
What are we looking at in terms of searches for EVs versus hybrids versus diesel versus petrol?
Well, now, I thought this is one of the really interesting things in the data. Cars are only going to release the data tomorrow, so people will be able to read it. But the amount of EV searches on their platform is up 47% year on year. Okay. Which is actually huge. And what it's showing you, Pat, is that we've been talking about EV sales here before and, hockey stick adoption curve, it's taking time. But, every year that goes by, we've got 30,000, 40,000 new EVs in the stock on the roads. 3 years later, they become secondhand availability. So there's a lot more availability of them. But we can also see just on the web searches who the brand winners are. And it's looking very good for the Volkswagen ID.4. Actually, if web searches are anything to go by, it's looking good for Tesla. And then you can also see BYD in there as well. But I think what's encouraging is that motorists are looking both new and secondhand on the web platform, which is where you're seeing the consumers in great, great volume. And they are buying EVs and they're searching for EVs. So I think the demand surge is coming.
A couple of comments here. Can you ask Conor if a speed ramp is allowed on a bend?
Well, conceivably, yes. I can never conceive of an idea where that would be a good design choice, because bends are dangerous anyway. And there are things like, there are local authority manuals on road design, some of which are really quite detailed. Speed bumps can be differing in design. Some are designed well, some are designed badly. On the face of it, that sounds like a bad idea.
Talking about road safety, the lights should be permanently on everybody's car, especially in the countryside where we live. It's so dangerous. You cannot see cars without their headlights when you're coming through trees, and it would really prevent accidents.
Yeah, they are. Daytime running lights have been compulsory in all new vehicles in Europe for 20 years now. We used to call them dipped headlights. So if they're not automatic on your car, turn them on. And again, if lighting is less than perfect, which is most of the time at this time of year, at least dipped headlights and maybe more.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, independent motoring expert with CarZone. Thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.